honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, getting ready for our final approach, if you will, on this two-part conversation with legendary pilot Jim Kunkel. We've heard about his time as a P-38 pilot in Europe during World War II, including that incredible mission in which he earned the Distinguished Service Cross and somehow avoided being killed or captured. Jim later became a test pilot, and when we left off, he was in an escalating series of dive bombing tests in one of America's early jets, the P-84.
The 600-mile-an-hour went to hell on me. The same question, everybody's in the same big hurry and hasn't changed a bit. Now I got to do 600 miles an hour, indicated. So I rolled in at 12,000 feet, picked it up, and I'm coming down, picked up my target, pulled through on it, released the bomb, and I had two tip tanks on the airplane. And the first tanks that were mounted like this, rather than down underneath, they were mounted like that on the 84. And so they'd cut windows in the tank and put cameras in it so they could photograph those bombs coming off the airplane. When I started the pullout, I came up, all I heard this horrible bang. I mean, just bang, 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 and that damn nose of that airplane snapped up. And they'd given me this P-1 helmet, which I hated, hard hat, and they had to wear it down at Eglin. And the damn thing came down over my nose with my oxygen mask, which we always wore. I couldn't see, the airplane's banging, nosed up, and I'm in a hell of a condition. And I finally got everything stabilized and under control. Didn't have no idea what happened. Came back in, and the airplane's not flying real well, and it wanted to stall on me. So I got it on the ground, taxied up, and the crew chief, before I even could get out of it, he's all excited. Half your rivets under the underneath your wing are gone. And he said, look, they're bent. That was the start. The airplane apparently snapped up on me. When I released the bomb, they had these short little bomb racks. When you released, that bomb rack would snap back up into the wing to give you a clear wing, fully cleaned up airplane. Well, by the camera, that damn bomb, when the rack went up, the bomb went up and was just pounding the underside of the wing like that. That was that pounding I heard. And the fact that it snapped up like that, I had no idea what the cause of that was. But over the course of the next few weeks, we had reason to really explore this. The bomb thing we could understand. We had some oscillation in the tanks that the camera showed, but we couldn't figure out, or at least I couldn't figure out, or nobody at Eglin could figure out why that nose snapped up like that. This was on a Saturday that I did this. I grounded our airplane. I was from Tactical Air Force, so the airplanes were in my care. So Eglin had this big firepower show coming on Tuesday, following Tuesday, and I was supposed to do the dive bombing for that show. And I said, well, my airplanes, until we find out what happened, we don't know what happened on that thing, and we're going to find out before we start doing anything more. Well, these are tactical airplanes. We want to know about this. They got a hold of Ballinger, who is chief test pilot at Republic, who was a friend of mine. He flew a brand new airplane down from Long Island for the plant to Eglin to do this thing on Tuesday. In the meantime, all day Sunday, we were having meetings with the commanding general of Air Materiel Command over what happened with this airplane. Anyway, Cy Johnson, who was head of fighter test, decided he would fly the mission I was to fly with the new Republic airplane, which was assigned to them at Eglin. So that's the way it set up. I kept my airplanes, under a Red Cross. So comes Tuesday morning, we go out to the range. Gosh, they had all these dignitaries from Washington. They had top people from the Air Force. They had Navy people there for this big firepower show. And they were going to fly these B-29s in formation as part of the show. And so Cy Johnson took off with the P-84. He climbed up over the thing, and he made his run, but he didn't drop. And he pulled out, and the commanding general was there of Air Materiel Command. He called Cy, and he said, well, the P-80s, they were supposed to come past the stand right with the B-29s and show the difference between a jet fighter and a heavy bomber. My good friend Lopez was leading the 80s, and he missed the mark. And so the commanding general called Cy, who was head of fighter tests in the B-84, and he said, Cy, would you pick up those 80s and make that run again? So Cy, okay, came around, and he came in and right in front of the stands, and he's coming up underneath behind the 80, the B-29s, and damn wing failed. And in one, they had 35 millimeter cameras on them, movie cameras, and in just like one or two frames, that airplane did a 180 degree roll, and the other wing came off, and the airplane just disintegrated right in front of the stands. And so this stopped everything as far as the P-84, because they grounded them right then for everybody. So again, it was the old question, what happened? Well, we didn't know, and it finally worked out. Number one, Chuck Yeager and his group at Edwards knew about the snap up at the critical Mach on the 84, which was like 0.81, you couldn't exceed it. The nose would snap up on you. If you were, well, trying to make a 600 mile an hour dive with an indication from the indicator, 600 miles an hour is all guesswork. It's not calibrated. I had no idea how close I was to the Mach. We didn't have a Mach meter. Edwards knew this, but they didn't tell anybody. The factory knew the damn thing snapped up. Yeah. We never heard about it. Well, it cost Cy Johnson his life. One good thing is they named the administration headquarters at Eglin Field, is, to this day, is called Cy Johnson in honor of his name. It was damn close to being Kunkel.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It almost cost you your life, and we've heard a few of those stories, and I don't want to keep you forever. Thank you for so much of your time, but I have a few more questions for you. You're going to be 100. In the middle of October. That's a long time. When you think back over all of that, is there something that, from your perspective, you are most proud of or most thankful for?
Yeah, we built some nice projects. Certainly had an excellent life. Got a wonderful wife. I had to get that in. No, I'd say, you know, a family, they're all interested in aviation, and no, it's just been a wonderful life.
And you're not done yet, and that's clear. I mean, when we landed here, you were pushing the airplane back to its parking spot here, and I think you're looking forward to this air show in Santa Maria, too, aren't you? Tell us why people listening, and they're listening in Bakersfield and Fresno and San Luis and all over California, why should they come to Santa Maria for this air show?
Well, because I think it really is a top air show. I think my grandson's done a terrific job. Santa Maria has been very helpful, and they all seem to be so proud of the fact that that was the largest P-38 training facility in the U.S. when the war ended. It's a good show. It's their top people.
Is there a particular aircraft that's going to be there that you're most anticipating seeing?
Depends on our old friend Steve Hinton. I think Steve will be there with the P-38 from Lanes of Fame. And he may even get a couple more. I know they'll try.
Does that mean you're going to be in that plane?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind. It's pretty damn uncomfortable if he'd trade places with me.
If he'd let you fly and he'd sit on your shoulder?
He can keep me straight from behind.
And we can kid about it, but I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, seriously, you know, you're going to be 100 years old during that air show. That's when your birthday is, in mid-October. But if they left you alone and let you walk over to that P-38, would you be able to take it off and fly around and land it?
I don't think there's any question about it. I would approach it very slowly. I'd like to spend the whole day sitting in it. I think right now I can take a blindfold test on it. And I know where everything's located. I can still remember my checklists, and it doesn't fly that much different than my 320 Cessna. No, I'd love to fly it, but I can't expect a guy with a $7 million airplane, that's what they got for the last one, is going to give me his airplane. The chances of whether I can fly it or not. But It was an easy airplane to fly as long as everything worked. No, I'd love to fly one again.
And is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you think is really important for people to know?
I think that the support that our veterans, and let's talk about some of these young kids that on the wall, you'll notice the Navy is well represented. And I've been on the carriers with them, been to the officers club, the O club together, and I had all the girls in the down at Miramar at the officers club on Saturday night, all the girls with the tight skirts and the high red red shoes, and those guys that fly these jets today, they're a great group of people. Even Ruth has had her experience with them. They put her in a chair, the whole squadron, they sang. Yeah, I got a picture of her with all these Navy guys down on their knees, and she's lost her loving feeling. I could have told them that.
Oh, classic. And you haven't lost your sense of humor either. Let me ask you real quick. Ruth mentioned the Legion of Valor. So a lot of people don't even know what the Legion of Valor is, but it's a very select club. To be a part of it, you have to have earned a Navy Cross, an Air Force Cross, a Distinguished Service Cross, or the Medal of Honor. The time that you've spent with those other gentlemen who have all done things like you did, risked your life for our country, lived to tell about it, what has that meant to you over the years?
Well, I think it's really very heart-filling that, you know, there's some real heroes in that organization. It's like my friend Charlie Plum. 6.5 years of his life in a hellhole, and me, 6 minutes. Gosh, that, you know, it's hard to, 6 minutes is not enough to be a real hero. I've been, you know, being adopted by the Navy, and one of my best friends other than Charlie was Denny Wisely, who was an admiral and led the Blue Angels and commanded the JFK carrier, had a big reputation in as a fighter pilot, shot down some MiGs. Real hero type. But being associated with these younger guys, even more so than the Air Force, it's been around the Navy guys and Navy ladies, these lady fighter pilots. I've been very privileged to have the opportunity to talk to them. And it's amazing. The guys never really come up with the one question. And it seems like every one of the feminine fighter pilots have asked this question that I've been associated with is, what do you do when the whole thing is hopeless? Now, I would guess in my situation, it was pretty damn hopeless. There was no way I could make a run for it. So you ride out the storm, whatever it is, you stick with it, but you got to rely back on that training. I told him my experience when I was a junior birdman in the Air Force. 20 minutes before I went to sleep, I'd think, what do you do in any given situation? If you lose an engine on takeoff, what are you going to do? Have a plan ahead of you. And, you know, that plan, it's better to have a plan than no plan at all. I'm afraid my friend Smoot, who lost it on this Reno airplane, was trying too hard to save the airplane, and he stalled it, and that was the end of it. But then again, he could have landed straight ahead and have a cartwheel on him. That you don't know. It's the luck of the draw. But I think that thinking of these young kids that are day in, day out, they're landing on these carriers and they're doing a good job. The Air Force the same way. They got high marks coming. Hopefully, they're being appreciated more than our Vietnam guys were appreciated. But, you know, being on that carrier, boy, that opened my eyes for 7 days. And that's the ground crew. That's the deck crew. That's the guys that would fire you off the thing. That top drawer on that carrier is a pretty busy place.
Well, that's my one final question. You just said the luck of the draw there a second ago, and I don't want to put thoughts in your head or words in your mouth, but I'm just curious how you really see it, because you've told us a lot of situations where that could have been it for you. Way back in World War II as a test pilot later, I'm sure there have been some since then. Do you see all that as just chance or luck? Do you think someone's pulling some strings for you? What's your view of that reality?
I think it's the luck of the draw. Why did my wing not fail on that 84 and Cy Johnson's did? Why did my engine run 10 seconds longer than somebody else's did? You know, you can think all day you're the world's leading aviator, but that's not going to buy you much. So it's the chance. I'm not a real prayer meeting Christian, but I do believe in it. But I also don't believe that you should do a lot of praying for yourself. I think when you get up to the Golden Gate, if they just say, I'm going to stand on the record.
It is quite a record, and here's hoping that day is a long way off. Some days that are getting a little closer, October 15th and 16th, the Central Coast Air Fest in Santa Maria, California, where Jim Kunkel is going to celebrate his 100th birthday. I'm hoping to get there and hope you'll consider it too. Thanks again to Jim Kunkel and his wife Ruth, as well as pilots Peter Mercino and Harold Gallagher for flying me down to Kunkel Field and the family hangar in Santa Ynez to conduct this interview. We talked about the Legion of Valor that Jim is a part of, and the repository for the Legion of Valor is the Veterans Memorial Museum in Fresno, California. There is so much to explore there at that free museum about so many heroes, so a visit there would be well worth your time also. I have that linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com as well. One final thank you to you for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you once more that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.